Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hello, my friends. Yes, it is I, the Reverend Dirty Sanchez, back once again to bring you a musical salvation. I stand before you upon the dirty toilets of It Burns When I Pee to save your souls from pop country. So raise your hands in the sky and join with me. Join with me and sing the holiest of songs. And join with me in giving praise to the man himself, the conductor of Musical Southmouth, Blake Layton. Cue the music and welcome to It Burns When I Pee.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 31 of It Burns When I Pee. Roommates, cock, and cubes. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and we have with us the newest member of our crew, the newest co-host, the only co-host, Uncle Bubba.
What's up, fuckers? It's great to be here live in Beans and Frank's studios.
Beans and Frank's.
Beans and Frank's. We just got done listening to Yours Forever Blue by Steve Earle and the Del McCoy Band from their kick-ass album, Mountain.
That's a really cool album to have those two bands together. It's pretty cool. I got up on Bootleg.
Bootleg.
Bootleg. Let's see what we got going on the show tonight. We have a great interview and a lot of great music from the Calamity Cubes. They're like my new favorite band. It was an amazing interview. We had all three guys from the band. And there's kind of a story behind where they were at when they did the interview. So, but I do think it's one of the most kick-ass interviews we've done.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Because I'm fucking awesome.
You are fucking awesome.
Thank you very
much.
You're
almost as fucking awesome as I am, but
well, whatever. Now this show is going to be fucking awesome.
You're right.
All right, we're going to have music from Slowgun Shogun, our good friend and always the legend David Allan Coe, Pawn Shop Roses, and Stacy Puckett. And we're going to have a little trip over to Uncle Bubba's farm.
Yeah, you fucker. You woke me up too early in the morning.
Yeah, so we're going to look for that later on. We did a little visit over to Bubba's farm. We're going to do some fan feedback, and we're going to have a new segment on the show honoring our new co-host, Uncle Bubba. It's going to be called Bubba's Two Cents.
Just some random thoughts that float through my head, and give me a couple of minutes to blow off some steam.
He gets a little angry once in a while, and so we're going to let him have about 5 minutes of show. You think you can handle that?
Game if you are.
All right. And we got much, much more coming up.
You know, I got a question for you, man, while we're just sitting here kind of shooting the shit.
Okay.
You know, I follow you on Twitter.
Just shooting the script with shooting the shit with a script?
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I follow you on Twitter, and you're one of my Facebook friends, and...
Hey, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you've never actually followed me any other way.
You're right, and there's reason for that.
Yeah, my brother's followed me twice.
That's fucking gross, man.
Not the same day.
Well, yeah, as long as you spread it out, I guess it's all right. But, you know, I keep seeing all these things about your roommates. You know, I know you had to move out, and now you've got what you call roommates, but, dude... It's your mom and your stepdad.
No, dude, it's my roommates. No, I have a male roommate and a female roommate.
Dude, it's your mom and your stepdad.
No.
So my big question to you is, if you have a girl over to the house, are you allowed to take her in your room and actually shut the fucking door?
Well, I have had that discussion with my female roommate, and there was no answer. It was just kind of a roll of the eyes. So I don't really think she thought I was serious. So the other night, my female companion... was over, and there was nobody home. So I called my mom on the phone. I was like, how long before you... I mean, my roommate. Yeah. I called my roommate.
You busted yourself
right
out.
I called my roommate on the phone, and I was like, hey, how long until you're going to get here? Because I'm wanting to get laid.
And her reply to that was...
She laughed again. She just kind of laughed.
Well, that's
but then,
not a total denial.
My female companion looked at me and said, I don't think so.
Ooh.
So she didn't have
shot
sex.
Down.
She didn't have sex with me in the day bed in the Duke room.
So how's your roommate... feel about your Asian porn fetish?
Which roommate? Because one roommate kind of checked it out a little bit, and the other roommate is disgusted.
I'm hoping that the one that checked it out was your male roommate.
Yeah, my male roommate. Me and him are tight.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's helpful.
Yeah, I don't go into the man cave unless I'm, you know.
So they totally made you like their personal bitch around the
house. I am the female roommate's bitch. I'm trying to work off some debt.
You're fucking doing laundry and dishes and
getting her inhaler.
Now, I heard you mention something earlier about you're in your room, she's in her room, and she actually fucking called you on the telephone.
Yeah, she called me on my cell phone to have me come in and see the dog's new trick.
Does she even realize how fucking pathetic that sounds?
If she would have knew how to Twitter, she would have Twittered it to me.
Well, yeah, I guess you can't ask for too much.
But it's not bad. I mean, I'm getting to eat out a lot more.
That's always a plus.
Yeah, I'm eating like every day. It's
well, you
cool.
need to eat because you're a skinny little fuck.
Right, exactly. But, no, that's pretty cool. You
that's
know.
Good, man. I'm glad to hear it.
Free room board for a little bit.
Glad to hear it. That's good.
You know. Oh, well.
I'm guessing that means I'm probably going to see a lot more of you hanging around my house, but...
Right, exactly. But
we'll
then you have
that.
To call before you come over to my house. Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into another song, and this is For the Lilies, and this is by Slowgun Shogun from his album Eve, Adam, and the Apple. And he's got a new album coming out. We'll hopefully get some music from that later on. So here is... Slowgun Shogun.
Lily fields had to blossom in the wrong time. She's been a pill popping ponderous since she turned nine. She spills her gut to her doctor, he keeps her high. But there ain't a script he's presented can cure her mind. Now
you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. COM names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy, website builders, and much more. Plus, enter pod 149 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Blake, it's Dad. Listen, I don't mind you moving in the basement. You know, that's fine. But you're going to do chores around the house again. Just think, because you're an adult, you're not going to do any more chores. You living in my roof, you're going to do stuff. And also, Friday nights, you're going to have to find a place to crash, because that's when the Andersons come over. And, well, I hate to tell you, but your mom and I are swingers. And sometimes I like to just watch Mr. Anderson fuck your mother. Yeah. I know you don't want to hear this, but we're all adults here, and that's what goes on at our house since you moved out. So, it's all good, buddy. And I got you an application for Burger King. Get you a job. I know the manager there. Later, guy.
Folks, we're back for segment 2, episode 31, Roommates, Cocks, and Cubes. I just love saying cock.
I know you do. It's kind of disturbing, frankly. Yeah. Plus, every time you say it, you kind of look down at my crotch. And it's
out. I'm like, wow, that big fella. Anyway, you just got done here in Pawn Shop Roses. Their song, The Life We Lead, and that's from their album, Let It Roll. You like, you know, you're kind of a gambler. You like to let it roll.
I like to let it roll. I like to let it ride.
Let it ride and let it roll.
And let it roll.
What's the difference?
Fuck, I don't know.
Okay. I was trying to give you a softball pitch there.
Shit, I don't know. Okay. I'm not a professional fucking gambler.
But you're officially a professional podcaster, so...
I guess I am now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pumped up about that,
congratulations.
By the way. Thanks, man.
I thought you would have dressed up more.
Well, fuck. If I'd have known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
There you go. Well, Bubba, why don't you go ahead and give some of the fan feedback that we got and let the folks know what's going on.
All right, here we go. Fan feedback. I just found your podcast, and I'm kind of upset that I didn't know about it earlier.
And
it
we are, too.
It saved me hours and hours of searching for great country music. Well, I'm glad we could help you out. This is from Darren. I'm originally from Marengo, Illinois. Where the fuck is Marengo, Illinois? Have you ever fucking heard of that?
No, I think it's by Pineapple.
Dude, Illinois. I have lived in Illinois my entire fucking life, and I've never heard of Marengo. He says it's not that far from Kewaunee, but...
Kewaunee, home of Section86.com.
It is home of Section86.com, and really, for the most part, it's kind of a shithole.
Right, pretty much, except for the
But I don't know what Marengo's been... I don't know what Marengo's like. Never been
there. Well, you know how, like, Morton has the Pumpkin Festival, and, you know, maybe it's the Marengo Festival.
Mango? Wasn't that a character on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, that was about, what's his name?
Chris Kattan. Yes, yeah. Yes. Anyway, back to Darren's post. Marengo is not far from Kewaunee, so that was another reason I wish I knew about it. I now live in Chicago and am a loner amongst my peers in terms of musical tastes.
So am I.
Yeah, you are. I didn't listen to country besides Hank and Hank 3 before a year ago, and now it's 75% of my iPod. I've downloaded at least half of your podcasts and took them on my long trip through Wisconsin this weekend, and it's been amazing.
And I've been to Wisconsin, and you need some entertainment through Wisconsin.
The only question I have, Darren, is, what the fuck, you lazy son of a bitch? Download the rest of the podcasts.
That's nice, Bubba. I'm going to have a lot of people doing fan feedback when you call them fucking dumbasses.
Sorry, man. I'm trying to help you out and boost your numbers.
I'm going to boost my numbers by telling everybody they suck cock.
Okay, Darren. I'm sorry. You're not a dumbass, but you are fucking lazy.
But he
download
is,
the podcast.
He is smart, though, because now he's
that's
checking
right.
Us out.
He's now following us.
He knows where it's at.
And now he knows where it's at.
And
so
he's downloaded half the episodes.
We
so.
Will give you credit for that, Darren.
Yes. You have found the promised land, my friend.
We also have this from Johnny. Keep this podcast going, brother. Between you and Outlaw Radio, things couldn't be any better. I consider myself pretty knowledgeable when it comes to music, and when I listen to your show, I have heard a ton of the bands, but there are bands that I haven't heard before. Fuck what the rest say, but the skits and shit rock. Actually, the whole show rocks from start to finish. I haven't heard many episodes with Creepy. It's because a fucking guy never showed up. But you and Norma Jean definitely have a chemistry. Dude, where the fuck is Norma Jean? You told me I was going to get to see her tits tonight.
She's kind of like MIA. I don't know what happened to her.
Well, I'm not going to show my tits for anybody, so don't try to bring somebody else in by seeing mine.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Then we've got this from an anonymous Facebook user. I like country pop vomit. That is all I have to say.
And I know who that anonymous person is. You can't send an anonymous email when your name is in the email address.
Yeah, that kind of screws the whole thing up.
But, Rebecca, thank you very much anyway.
Very cool. Thank you, Rebecca.
Or Becky.
Rebecca, Becky, Beck.
She's a friend from high school, and we talk on Facebook. She was part of the 104 comment post.
Dude, that's a huge post. My God, how much time did you waste on Facebook?
I waste a lot of time on Facebook.
You're too busy playing Farkle at night.
Playing with my Farkle. Anyway, we'll go ahead and give out the contact information now. Of course, everybody can email me at blake@ibwip.com, and we're going to get Uncle Bubba an email address here pretty soon.
Very cool.
I just wanted to see if you could make it through the first episode before I got you an official email address.
Oh, so this is like a test?
Yes.
I should have studied.
You're on probation.
I should have studied.
It takes high class to be on this show.
It's probably a good thing you didn't tell me because I have like some kind of anxiety when it comes to taking tests, and I probably... failed miserably.
Exactly.
I'm not failing, am I?
No, you're all right.
All right, because now I know it's a
except
test.
For calling my fans lazy asses, but that's okay. Because we all are, because I am lazy.
Dude, I've heard you call your fans so much worse than that, it's not even funny. Exactly. And that's on the air.
Exactly. Oh, hello. Anyway, if you want to leave us a voicemail, we got two great voicemails in this episode. And if you want to try to one-up Mr. Donnie fucking Cash, you can give us a call at 206-339-8419. It doesn't cost a dime. You just call it. It says beep, and then you leave a message.
Beep.
And you got 2 minutes. And you can also follow us on Twitter, like my friend Uncle Bubba here. He follows me on Twitter. And that is twitter.com/IBWIPCOM. And, of course, our MySpace page is, as always, and has been for 2 years, myspace.com/itburnswhenip86.
Dude, how many followers do you have on MySpace now?
I have about 2,400.
That's pretty impressive.
2,451.
That's pretty impressive.
Why, thank you. I don't think any of them know me, though. But Tila Tequila is one of them, so it doesn't really count.
She follows you? Did you ask her to be your friend?
No, because Shawn Merriman would beat me up. Oh, Christ. Well, now I promised Bubba that he would have a few minutes for his rant, so we're going to go ahead with the first time, the segment of Bubba's 2 cents. Bubba, 5 minutes. Take it away.
Tonight, we're going to talk about child support laws.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Blake and I both know a little something about child support, and just kind of talk about some of the child support laws that are out there today. Did you know that there hasn't been a change in child support law since 1985?
I was 10.
Jesus Christ, dude. Come on. Legislation needs to get with it and update some of this shit. Most state laws are pretty fixed, and they don't take into account what you or your ex's child-related expenses are. So, you know, no matter how much you're paying for child support, it doesn't really matter how much they actually spend on the kid. They just care about how much you make and how much they can take. You know, if you've got one child, they take 20%. 28% for two kids, 32% for three kids, 40% for four, and they can take up to 50% from you if you've got five kids and more.
Why would you want five kids, though?
Dude, I've got two kids, and when I've got them both, and they're here in my house, it's more than I can handle most times.
Yeah, I wouldn't want five.
No, five's just way too much.
My name is not Devon Washington or
that's true,
Jackson.
Too. Of course, then you would, you know, not only have child support coming in, you'd get public aid and...
Exactly.
Stuff too, so.
And isn't it, don't you pay more? Like, if you have a child by, like, two different women, you pay more than 28%.
That is actually true, and I know that for a fact because my kids are both from two different women, and they're both entitled to 20%. So
technically, you could have four kids with one woman and pay just as much as you pay having two kids with two women.
Absolutely correct.
If I could just get them to stick around, I wouldn't have to worry about it.
That's true. You know, and the bad part is the non-custodial parent has no say on how the money is spent. Hell, we don't even know if it's spent on our kids. It could be spent on buying shit for them or their other kids.
Or trips to Las Vegas.
Trips to Las Vegas. Hell, who knows where the money goes. My lawyer once told me that the state doesn't care if you live in a box on the street as long as your child's taken care of. Well, that's all fine and good, but, you know, the kid comes to my house. I don't think they want the kid living in a box on the street. What do you think?
If I don't have a place that's safe for them, and, you know, it's dirty or it's nasty, and I don't have any food for them, then I'm going to get my visitation taken away.
Exactly, man.
we should become lawmakers.
We should become lawmakers. That's it. I'm running for, I don't know, what do I need to run for?
State legislator?
State senator.
You have to have...
Senator Bubba.
Senator Bubba.
How you like them apples?
I like it.
Also, how about the fact that your ex can take you to court whenever they want to and have your child support raised? But in order for you to have it lowered, it has to be a significant change in income, and that is left up to a judge's discretion. Now, come on. Give me a fucking break. What kind of crap is that?
What's a significant change?
Exactly, man. It's up to a judge. God forbid the judge is some, you know, person who's collecting child support and her ex isn't paying child support, and she's going to take it out on you, right, man. That's a bunch of crap. Even if you go to jail or you're unemployed, you may not qualify to have your child support lowered. Hey, you were unemployed.
Yes, I was.
What happened when you were unemployed?
I got really far behind and a lot of trouble.
And now you got to make all that shit up, don't you?
Right.
What a bunch of crap. That's terrible. Now, you know, I've got kids. I pay my child support. But damn, don't we have any rights? There's nothing worse than paying your child support and not seeing your kids reap any of the benefits of the money you pay out. Now, I'm not saying all people who receive child support spend it on things other than the kids. That's hardly the case. But come on, let's not be naive and think that it never happens. All I'm saying is that I'm a parent that pays child support, and I've never missed a payment. I'd like to know where all my fucking money goes.
Amen, brother. I take care of my kids.
That's right, man.
That was a good rant, my friend.
Dude, I feel so much better now.
Next time I won't interrupt you as much.
That's all right, man. I appreciate the feedback. Plus, you know a lot about the subject.
Yeah, I know a lot about the subject. That's why I'm living with my roommates.
Your mom and dad.
My roommates. I have a male and a female roommate.
Call it what you will.
You know what my favorite part about having the female roommate is the funniest thing about it?
What's that?
Is a lot of times I'll walk by the bathroom and I shall have the door closed and all I hear is, I'm not really sure what's going on in there. She said she's taking a breathing treatment. Yeah.
Yeah,
breathing
well, yeah, that's up for debate,
She's always smiling and breathing better when she comes out.
As long as she's got a smile on her face, that's all that matters.
Keep my roommates happy.
That's right.
Mr. Male Roommate, keep Mrs. Roommate happy.
Dude, that's disgusting. I don't even want to think about that.
Okay. Well, folks, this is the time of the show where we feature a band, an indie band out there who's out there on the road trying to make $1, $1.50. And the band we have is the Calamity Cubes. And this is probably one of the coolest bands that I've had on the show in a long time. They wanted to do all three, you know, be in the interview. And it was really cool. They're really down to earth, kick-ass music. I want to thank all the guys for, you know, taking the time out and being on the show. And this is from their new album, and it's called Long Cold Winter. And the song is called Bear Versus Scientist.
Bear Versus Scientist.
Kick-ass song.
Very cool.
So here is Bear Versus Scientist by the Calamity Cubes from their new album, Long Cold Winter. Followed by Kick-Ass Interview.
Well, how long do I have? And how long can she remain fascinated with the simple questions of logic and shit? It's been long.
Welcome, everybody, back to episode 31 of It Burns When I Pee. And we have with us an amazing band that, of course, I found on MySpace, the Calamity Cubes. And, guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here. Absolutely. Yeah, we want to thank you for doing this, and definitely thank you, Guitar Center in Albuquerque, for letting us use the office space.
Yeah, the guys are on tour, and they're in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now, and they're at a Guitar Center, and they're using one of the offices, so that's super awesome. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves and then what you play in the band?
All right, well, I'm Brooke, and we kind of all play everything, but at shows, I play guitar and just banjo on 1-2.
I'm Joey, and I primarily beat on the banjo, and every once in a while I get to pick up the guitar and do some singing and such.
And I'm Codio, and I play upright bass.
And so how long has the band been together?
Well, Brooke and I met at an open mic night in Wichita about 3 years ago. We spent a winter drinking and smoking and listening to music together, and eventually band practice started about 6 months after that. So we've been a band for a solid 2.5 years, Blake.
Awesome. And how did you guys come up with the name The Calamity Cubes for the band?
Well, it was broken. This was a movie I watched a bunch of times when I was a kid called Cabin in the Sky. And it's, I think, 1939. Lena Horne and Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington. It comes from the beginning of the movie. The woman's trying to get the man to go to church, and he's standing at his dresser drawer. He finds these dice, and he's like, I just found these calamity cubes, and I think the devil's trying to take my soul. And we were watching that movie one time in practice, and the Calamity Cube settled in real good with us.
Cool. And, you know, the new album you guys have out is called Long Cold Winter. You know, I got your guys' first album, and a couple shows ago we played Ivan from that one. And after I heard that album, I was hooked on you guys. And we'd actually talked about, you know, getting you guys on the show. And then you came out with the new album, and I thought it would be the perfect opportunity. You know, Brooke and Joe, you guys combined to write, you know, all the songs. How does the band decide which of the songs to, you know, to put on this new album?
This is Joey, and it's kind of like how songs, you know, sometimes they just choose you, they find you. And we definitely are known for surrendering to our music. In that sense, the same way the song finds us, the album really found us. We never sat down and said we're gonna put this one or that one on or leave that one off. We recorded exactly what we sat down into to do, and some of those songs we recorded right there. We wrote right there in the studio while we were happening. So literally, it really found us.
Awesome, and you know, compared to the first album, I think, in my opinion, you know, the second album has, the songs have a lot more, I don't want to say maturity level, but they're even more deeper level. Do you guys kind of notice that between the first album and the second album, the lyrical content was more profound?
Yeah, this is Cody, and definitely there's been a definite shift, and as you mentioned, I don't know about maturity, but definitely we've expounded further into our lyrical content and how everything just kind of flows together instead of just being rough, ratty, you know, like the first album. We sat down and really thought about what had, yeah, to establish ourselves as actual musicians.
Right, right.
In the same way in the studio, we felt like we took a little bit of time to actualize our potentials instead of just recording straight through, you know, like we could have done and like we had done before.
Okay. And so how would you say, Brooke and Joey, how would you say that your guys' writing styles, you know, are similar and different in ways, too?
Well, I think, this is Brooke, I think me and Joey's styles definitely have melded together over the last couple of years, and they were a little bit more different when we started, but I think Joey writes some whimsical, sort of playful songs. He has the comprehension of abstract thought, which escapes me sometimes. I've read pretty straightforward, you know, drinking songs and murder songs, and I let the listener draw a couple conclusions, you know, and assume some things, but it's my stuff's pretty much straightforward. Whatever country used to be.
Okay, and Joey, you know, in the first song that we just got done listening to before the interview, Bear vs. Scientist, which is kind of where you guys got the name of the album from, I was wondering, what was your inspiration for that, and did you draw from a real-life experience, or?
Yeah, absolutely. And just like, you know, everything is relative, so I try to paint a picture that can mean more than one thing, you know, leave it to a... The audience's interpretation, but that song was written the spring after I quit drinking. I quit drinking in August of 07, and besides going out to play shows, I spent most of that winter sort of isolated, trying to relearn how to just do everyday things, whether it's just getting through a day of work or going to the bar or just talking to people in general. And so I, in that sense, literally, I chose the hibernation route to work on myself. And come spring, when I finally crawled out of my cage, I met someone that had also been hibernating in her own sense. And but she was, I felt like she was thinking things out too much. So it was a plea to stop thinking so much. And you know, really, I think what it comes down to is suggest that despite every reason the world will give you to not engage in a connection with another human being, sometimes you simply cannot deny connections that the universe puts in front of you.
You know, and I kind of know how you feel in that mostly that one line about, you know, you hibernated through the winter. I found that same kind of feeling when, you know, I had stopped drinking. You know, 7 years ago, it was the whole learning how to do everything over again and basically just like staying just in that moment just to be able to get through that. So I kind of related to that part, mostly that line in particular from that song.
Well, that's just it. It offers something because it's a feeling, and feelings don't have words necessarily to describe them. That's why we're able to write, you know, for eons, that's why people are going to be able to write, to try to continue to find ways to express these feelings. But that's exactly it. I'm really proud that connected with you.
Awesome. Now, Brooke, the next song we're going to listen to is called Carney Love Song. You know, how did you kind of come up with that song, and what was the kind of the inspiration behind that?
Well, that's another song that just came natural. I was in the bathroom in Jackson, Mississippi at the fairgrounds. I'd been with the carnival for a little bit of time, and I heard a lot of true murder stories, and I think a staple of country music is some of those murder tunes and the bigger lessons that to be learned from them. And I kind of thought
An interesting twist on that would be to have the girl finally win, and the girl killed the guy. She showed up with a gun, and he had a knife, and in the Rochambeau of weapons, like, that wins always.
Always. So,
I just thought it was sort of an interesting twist to have the girl come out ahead and be a little more demented than the guy.
And, of course, on It Burns When I Pee, we love to play songs where either the man or the woman kill one another. So we're going to stop the interview for a minute, and we're going to play from the new album, Long Cold Winter. This is Carney Love Song. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Again, that was Carney Love Song off the new album from the Calamity Cubes, Long Cold Winter. And guys, you're currently on tour. Like we said, you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now. So what are you guys, what's the plan for the rest of the tour? And why don't you each tell us something that you guys really like about being on the road? And then, of course, there's always at least one thing that, you know, kind of is a bummer on the road. So why don't you each go through that?
We're about out of Del Taco territory, which is sort of disappointing, but I love being on the road, man. These are my brothers. I love these guys, and I'm playing music, so might as well hang out with your favorite people and do your favorite thing and get to be, like, paid to travel.
Even if there's no green burritos involved.
This is Kelly. I think, for me, personally, the best thing is just experiencing the whole gamut of experience and the whole, like, just range of emotions. It's like cooped up 4 feet away from each other, you know, tempers flare sometimes, everybody embraces each other, and there's just those random, just rare, beautiful moments of just, like, pristine being. It's like a window to enlightenment, just the smallest
smallest glimpse into, like, just what it's like to be fully connected with people.
Cool.
This is Joey, and I just have to concur with that. Absolutely, my favorite thing about being on the road is just not only experiencing and connecting with old family and new family that you meet on the road, but just the affirmation that family still exists, you know, brotherhood and community still exists. It paints this beautiful kind of modern Norman Rockwell painting in my head that it's just awesome. Seeing everybody and meeting everybody, it's phenomenal.
So, as you know, as a band, how do you guys do your own booking? And, you know, how do you guys find, I know a lot of bands struggle with, you know, going too far from their home base. How have you guys dealt with that, and how, what have you guys kind of done to try to get past that difficult issue?
Well, this is Cody, and pretty much we do everything ourselves, you know. We're there, we're making all the calls, we're making all the emails, we book it ourselves, we just want to, you know, we pick where we want to go. We choose our own destiny. It's like, you know, those old books when you're a kid, choose your own adventure.
Right.
And word of mouth helps. We help bands when they're coming through Kansas, and, you know, and we introduce ourselves to them, and we introduce them to our family of musician friends and of music lovers back home. And so, you know, when you give someone such a killer experience back home, it's only natural that when you head out there, you know, it's like I said, it's that community and that family that it's really affirming to see.
Do you guys have any plans to kind of go through, you know, Chicago or Illinois or anywhere around there anytime soon?
Oh yeah, you bet.
Because
we're off for 2 weeks when we get done with this tour, and we're going. Hitting up all the same towns we did this time, and that should take, you know, another couple months. And then we'll be heading to the north and northeast and all the way down south and back across. You know, it's going to be the endless tour probably from now on, so we'll be back in the Ohio area and Chicago and all those. We'll be hitting those two times within the next 6 or 7 months.
Awesome. We'll have to have a big Ed Burns and IP get-together with the Calamity Q.
Yeah, yeah,
there you go. So, Cody, you know, in you know, the basis of this show is kind of feature, you know, the bands that are out there, the indie bands like yourself that are making really kick-ass music and aren't really getting the recognition. What is kind of your take on the whole corporate Nashville versus, you know, what you guys are doing on the indie scene?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, corporate Nashville is, you know, music row and everything. It incorporates. Like, it bleeds dry from the true essence of what country music was. It just turns it into another pop thing. You know, it's not country anymore. It's just another pop culture where it's all dollars and sex appeal. And when you get down to it, like, the real essence is the people that are out there, you know, artists like, you know, Dale Watson or Wayne Hancock or Rachel Brooke or our friends Adam Lee at Dead Horse Sound Company who, like, are playing in Ohio. They'll drive, pack up their four-door sedan full of their gear, drive 2 days to play two shows out in Ohio to drive back and do the same thing in Arizona. You know, that's where the true essence of country remains, is through these people. And, you know, they're out there. You just got to get yourself out there. You got to get your exposure, you know, get out there and meet the people. It's not, and I think one thing that we've learned is, you know, not on this tour is really who's out there. You never know who you're playing for. And, you know, these artists write amazing songs, and we try to write the best songs we can through and share it and with people and spread the word, you right. know, just spread the gospel that we preach.
Right. So why don't you guys each go through and kind of tell me who was one of your biggest influences musically for each of you?
This is Joey, and I'm going to start this one, and I'm going to cheat gratuitously right away. I don't have one.
Right.
I have one to several. First, I have to say my dad. He grew up playing music in Tulsa. He's been playing in bars since he was 15 years old, and he's played with some of the finest musicians in the world. And his he works 7 days a week, and his little escape is Saturday nights for 3 hours when he can play his little jazz gig. And I do not mean little jazz gig in a belittling way. But secondly, I would have to say Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. I credit him to teaching me how to play the banjo. I grew up playing more, you know, always playing I grew up listening to bands like Pavement and Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth, and that's the kind of music I wanted to make. And up until those open mic nights, that's what was happening. And then the universe introduced us to each other.
There you go.
This is Cody. I think my biggest influence is my great-grandfather, Matty Lugo. When I was a child, I grew up every day looking at this picture of him. Like, it's taken back in the 40s, and he's wearing a poncho and a sombrero, just drunk, leaning against a light pole, with a bottle of whiskey in one hand and a guitar in the other, and with the biggest smile on his face. And ever since, like, growing up seeing that picture, it's always connected, like, music and contentment and happiness. And he went on every day, like, he went on in the 40s to write and perform and compose music every day, as like, you know, it was a tumultuous time of war, and he helped bring up the, even if it was in a small local community in LA, it was like he still helped bring up the atmosphere from that deprivation of war and suffering and strife.
Awesome.
Well, this is Brooke, and you know, I guess I've been influenced as much by the stuff that I don't like that I've been influenced by. You know, I've come to find what I can make up and what I can do just by seeing, like, there's so much fucking bullshit out there, and, like, you get overwhelmed by, like, how much bad there is, and, like, you see that, and you're like, well, whatever I do, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And there's so much crap out there that eventually it gets you right back down to where you start at country music, and, like, that's where it's at, man. You got to play that because that's the only thing that's true. You know, that's where the reality of things are.
Right. You're finding the inspiration in the crap out there to make what is real, and you're kind of going, okay, this is what it is. I don't like it, and this is what it should be, and this is, you know, and that's super awesome.
Strip it down to the basics, man.
Right. You get down to the core of it, and it's just just a dude and a guitar. Sad about some shit, or drunk about some shit, or killing about some shit, and like, how it goes.
Exactly. So if you guys weren't on the road, and you guys weren't making your living as musicians and doing what you wanted to do, if you had to, you know, put on a tie or whatever, what would be the career that you guys would have picked instead?
Well, this is Brooke again. I've always thought if you have a fallback plan, you're bound to fall back on it. So I found out what I wanted to do, and I've done that ever since. And, you know, I guess ultimately when I pocket enough cash from doing this, I'll keep doing this, and I guess open up a cemetery, bury a bunch of folks. And I don't know. I guess I've done that for a long time, and I've dug a hole and filled it back up enough times that I know I can do that till I was 70. At least there's tractors and shit. So
yeah, there's cheating involved, yeah. Now. And I couldn't really see myself doing anything else, really. I mean, like Brooke said, I saw what I wanted to do and hit it, you know. I mean, I guess, you know, like you said, once it gets down to it, you know, there's always been kind of a family trait of trucking in my life. So maybe that is a retirement plan, but, you know, I guess if we weren't doing this, realistically, I'd probably be some fry cook in fucking Tupelo, Mississippi at a bar or something.
This is Joey. I just quit my job at Subway not too long ago to get here, but that's besides the point. You know, we've all been a lot of things, and we could be anything we want. I used to fancy myself a photographer, more specifically a skateboard photographer, and I always thought that that's what I was going to do, but then I started playing the banjo. Watch me go.
Right. And it's funny, you mentioned skateboard. Another song that you have on the new album is Skateboard Hips, and I'll tell you what, that is a song that will not leave your head once it's in there. I find myself, you know, in the middle of the day at my desk going, you know, singing this song, and it's just, it's one of those songs that just sticks with you. It's pretty funny.
Well, it's a true story. I let people know at the shows. They can come and touch it at the end if they want to.
That's $5.
Yeah, it costs $5. We're broke. We're trying to hit the road.
There you go. So where can fans get a hold of your guys' CDs, which if they don't, they're making a big mistake. But where can they find you on the World Wide Web, and how can they get your CDs?
The most all-inclusive place to go right now would be our MySpace page. And there's a link on there that will direct you to purchase both the first CD and the new one, Long Cold Winter. www.myspace.com/thecalamitycubes is the address for that. And then our email address is thecalamitycubes@yahoo.com.
In case you just want to stop by and say hi.
Absolutely.
And you guys have your...
of course, we're up on Facebook and all those other things, but... the MySpace page is the most all-inclusive way to go. You can check out the tour dates and purchase CDs, listen to music there, watch some videos.
Awesome. Well, you know, guys, I've got one more song I'm going to play from the new album called The Greatest Thing. And I want to thank you guys very much for being on the show. When you guys sent me the first album, I wanted to get you guys on the show and to have you guys have a new album coming out. You know, it just seemed like perfect timing. Thank you very much for sending us the music, and it's amazing stuff, and we want to tell all the fans to go out there and pick it up and take a listen, and thank you for joining us at the Dirty Stalls of It Burns on IP.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you for doing what you're doing, making sure people are still being able to hear some good music out there.
Absolutely, man. You're the fucking heart and soul. You're helping people out. You are a catalyst for change. Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys. All right, well, this is another song called Greatest Thing.
Big, not Danny, like a woman. But anyway, if Earl gets locked back up, I'll hook back up with you, hon. Have a good one. Bye.
Ugh, I had to fart. Hold on a second.
Dude, don't shit your pants, please.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to shit my pants. We just got done hearing another amazing song by the Calamity Cubes, and that was Greatest Thing off their new album, Long Cold Winter. I want to thank the guys again for being on the show.
You know, we could still use some fans to send us requests for artists and bands to play. We're kind of running low on new music to play.
Yeah, now that I'm doing two shows a month, I'm going through even more music faster. So
you guys out there listening to us every week, man, if you've got bands that you want to hear on It Burns When I Pee, send those along to us.
Yeah, just send me their name or their MySpace link or something, and I'll get a hold of them and see if I can get some music from them. We would really appreciate it.
We try to do what the fans like.
And then we call them names.
Dude, it's my first episode, man. Would you buy that it was nerves?
Okay.
All right, cool.
I'll buy it. You got some land.
Did you hear that, Darren? It was just nerves.
Just nerves.
You're not a dumbass.
All right. Now, we got we took a moment or two and talked to a good buddy from the show who's listened to it for a long time, and you've heard him on the show, and that's Donnie fucking Cash. And he is organizing the second annual MySpace Real Country Music Awards. And so here's a few minutes of me and his conversation that we had a couple nights ago. All right, folks, we have with us a special guest here on It Burns and IP, longtime listener, longtime friend of It Burns and IP, Donnie fucking Cash. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
So what have you been up to?
I'm trying to get this little awards thing going.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. It's the second annual MySpace Real Country Music Awards. Last year when you did this, did you have any idea it would blow up and you would get so much participation from people?
No, I didn't think it'd be as big as it was last year. It was pretty big and kept me busy.
So now you're going to be even busier.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, this year it ain't taking off too good.
It is.
I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I got too many categories posted.
There's a lot of them, but basically what you're doing is, you know, you're on your MySpace page, the Hank 3 Coalition MySpace page, and you selected a bunch of categories for people to kind of vote on, and it's kind of like originally it was kind of like to say, you know, fuck the Country Music Awards, and you're just getting people to vote on different categories, right?
Right.
Boy, you're helping out a lot here, buddy.
yeah, like different categories that you wouldn't find in your average award show.
Yeah, you've got about 90 categories.
Yeah, I think 93 to be exact.
And it, you know,
last year I only had like 50 or 60.
So, last year, how many people would you say roughly, you know, kind of voted and were participated in it?
Oh man, there was a lot. I'd be on the page at least an hour every day, you know, tallying the votes and all that good stuff. I mean, it blew up.
Right. So we're trying to get some more people, you know, this year to be aware of it. And again, it's at your MySpace page, the Hank 3 Coalition. You know, some of the categories, you got like Best Bluegrass Group, Biggest Hellraiser, Male and Female, Best Psychobilly Song. You know, what, to you, why did you want to do this in the first place? What was your inspiration?
Well, it started it last year, a group of us here on the MySpace page watched the CMAs. And, you know, just a bunch of bullshit. You know, motherfuckers that wouldn't know country if they slapped them in the face winning all these awards. So I said, let's do this shit on here. You know, it'll be little and just on the page. But, I mean, it took off. It was a good time.
So let's kind of get some fans you know, to the page this time, and I wanted to have you on the show to talk about it because I thought it was a super cool idea last year, and we were honored enough to win, you know, the best podcast for real country music, and we were completely honored. That was like our first award ever, and I kept waiting for my trophy in the mail, and it never came.
Well, I asked if you wanted a trophy or a blowjob, and you didn't want the trophy, remember?
you said a blowjob from a tranny, right?
Yeah. Toothless tranny.
Those are the best kind of trannies.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we got what are some of the music that you've been listening to lately that is really something that is getting your goat, I guess you'd say?
Lucky Tub, man. His CD's great. I probably listen to that twice a week. I know when I first got the CD, I listen to it every day. Pee Wee Moore, a lot of people know about him. I listen to him. He's really good. Pee Wee Moore and the Awful Dreadful Snakes. Man, I got so much shit on my iPod. It's real.
So what else besides, you know, getting this thing prepared have you been up to? Anything of interest or, you know, just fucking around?
I haven't been doing too much, man. Just, you know, I had that, trying to get this shit right here squared away, the awards, and I lost all my shit on my iPod, all my music. So that's kept me busy trying to get everything back. But other than that, my family keeps me busy.
Always, yep. That when we met your daughter when we were in Cincinnati at the Metal Farm magazine party. She was awesome.
Yeah.
She raising hell like her dad.
She's been being Have. She's not like me. She stays out of trouble.
Awesome. All right, buddy. Well, we're going to put a link up to your MySpace page, and we're going to try to get people to go over there and place their votes for any and all of these categories out there. And, of course, for Best Podcast, we want them to vote for it, Burns and IP. I think we got some competition this year. I don't think last year we had as much competition.
Yeah, there's a couple more podcasts out there, isn't there?
Yeah. Are you going to do one of your own?
I thought about it. I just got to get all the stuff.
Sweet.
And I thought about doing it because I got a lot of music.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right, buddy. Well, you know,
I have a sick sense of humor, so I think I'd be decent at it.
Awesome. Well, you'll always get promo spots on our show, definitely.
Sweet. What do you want in return?
A finger in the butthole. Not the one in the back, either.
Yeah?
Oh, shit. All right, buddy. Well, it was good to talk to you. And like I said, we're going to go ahead and try to get everybody to go over to your MySpace page and vote on the second annual MySpace Real Country Music Awards.
Sweet deal.
Brought to you by the Hank 3 Coalition. All right, man. Keep it real.
All right, brother.
All right. Take care of yourself. Get some sleep.
All right. Later.
All right. Thanks again to Donnie Bucking Cash. He's been a long time buddy. And I challenge anybody out there to leave funnier voicemails than that motherfucker does.
That's right. That's a challenge from Blake to all you listeners out there. I want to see who can step up and do it.
Yeah, step up. Maybe you'll win a prize or something. I got plenty of shit.
I heard that there's going to be a new item in the store.
There will be a new item in the store very soon. There are new items available at this moment. We have the musical South Mouth t-shirts.
South Mouth.
You thought you'd go through a whole episode without hearing South Mouth.
You know, we need to get a Team 34 shirt.
Shh, I haven't talked about 34 yet. It's Whoops. A surprise.
All right, sorry about that.
Well, I guess we'll just do it now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bust that out.
That's all right. In October, we will be having a new Ed Burns and IP contest. We haven't had one in a while since the Naked Pictures got us
in
trouble.
Yeah, it's been a while, so it's time.
Yeah, so we're going to have the first annual Hug a 34 Day.
You guys out there might ask yourselves, what the hell are they talking about? What's a 34?
Maybe we should wait until the next episode to tell them what a 34 is.
I think we make them wait.
Yeah.
They're going to spend the next month of their lives wondering, what the hell are Blake and Uncle Bubba talking about when they say a 34?
A 34. So get ready, folks. In October, the first annual Hug a 34 contest.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to hug me a 34 or two?
If you don't tell my wife, I might hug a whole bunch of 34s.
A whole bunch of 34s. Yeah! So what do we got next on the agenda here?
Next up, we have The Nashville Plan by Stacy Puckett from his album Truths, Half-Truths, and Lies.
That sounds like everything my ex-wives have ever told me.
Yeah, join the club, man.
Exactly. All right, here is The Nashville Plan.
Ducks in a row, then go and play a show. And a man with wads of cash will sign just before you leave. Show up downtown Monday and sing into a can. And hit the road with all your friends, yeah, that's the Nashville plan. But don't show up without your CD. Don't show up without your hat. Get your image right for TV. You know the camera makes you fat. Oh, and these will man the tables with notebooks in their hands. Steal away your heart and soul. That's the Nashville plan.
Listeners, get to know our new co-host, Uncle Bubba. We thought we'd come on see him at his new farm. So let's knock on the door and see if he's home.
Who is it?
It's me, Blake. We want to come in and check out your place.
Well, come on in and I'll show you around. Damn son of a bitch, you woke me up. Let's head out back.
So what kind of farm you got here, Uncle Bubba?
Well, you're legit, right? You ain't gonna call the cops, are ya?
Nah, man, it's cool. I'm not a narc.
Okay, let's go out to the barn.
Holy shit, that's a lot of chickens. Are you like an egg farmer?
Hell no, man. Egg farming's for pussies. I raise chickens for cockfighting.
You need chickens to get naked and slap your dick around with another guy?
I don't know what kind of cockfighting you've been doing, son, but you ain't been doing it right, that's for sure.
Yeah, you might be right. So, are you going to show us some of your prize cocks?
Sure, sure. I got all kinds of cocks. Red cocks, black cocks, tall cocks, fat cocks, you name them, I got them.
So, which one is your biggest cock?
The black cock, of course.
I should have guessed. Well, how about which one is your smallest cock?
I'd have to say it's this yellow cock. I think there's something wrong with him anyway. He's got squinty eyes and he's always squawking.
So, Uncle Bubba, tell us, how did you get into cockfighting?
Well, years ago, when I met my wife, she loved cock. I mean, that's all she ever talked about. So for a wedding present, I bought her a cock. And the rest is history.
So, even after all these years, your wife still loves the cock?
Oh, yeah. She still loves the cock.
We have one more question for you, Bubba. If our listeners were looking into getting into raising and fighting cocks, what are some tips you can give them?
Well, the most important thing is to be careful who you fight your cocks with. Don't just go around cockfighting with people you don't know. It can get pretty scary out there in the cockfighting world.
That's great advice. Anything else?
I see time and time again with people that are starting out cockfighting, they just don't keep their cock clean. It's gross. Nobody wants to fight a dirty cock.
Well, folks, there you have it. A little background on our new co-host, Uncle Bubba. Thanks again for letting us come and check out your cocks.
No problem, Blake. I'm pretty proud of my cocks and love showing them off whenever I can.
Well, they are cocks you should be proud of.
Bubba, get your ass in here right now!
Oh, Lord. Seems like the missus is in one of her moods again.
Does she have a temper or what?
No, man. I told you. She loves the cock. She must be horny again.
So, you're going to go in there and show her who's the man, right?
Not in a million years, my friend. I think tonight I'll send in that goofy yellow cock.
I said now, you son of a bitch!
Sounds like she's getting mad. We better get out of here.
Yeah. One time she bit the head right off my cock. She was so mad.
Really? Damn. What kind of cock was that?
Hell, it was my cock. Why do you think I send the chickens in now?
I said this'll only hurt for a little while. I'll only put the head of it in. I promise that I'll never try to come in your mouth. Met her in a local honky tonk. Told her it was love at first sight. She was just looking for a shoulder to cry on and a place where she could spend the night. Me, I was a little nervous. Never been that far before. So I told her the three biggest lies in the world as we danced across the floor. I said, this'll only hurt for a little while. I'll only put the head of it in. I promise that I'll never try to come in your mouth. Busted in a Birmingham robbery. He didn't have no money for bail. Judge bound him over to the local grand jury, and the sheriff threw his young ass in jail. They put him in the cell with a pervert that later tried to climb in his bed. Stuck one of them homemade knives to his throat, and these are the words that he said. Good buddy, this'll only hurt for a little while. I'll only put the head of it in. I promise that I'll never try to come in your mouth.
Dude, let me redo that because I fucked up the word legendary.
Legend. You go wait for it. Wait for it.
Cool.
Okay, we'll start it over. And action!
That was Three Biggest Lies by the man David Allan Coe from his legend, Wait For It. Wait For It. Dairy. X-rated album. Little How I Met Your Mother
awesome.
Reference there. Gotta love it.
From his legendary what?
X-rated album.
Have you ever heard any songs from that album?
Of course I have, man. It's David Allan fucking Coe.
There you go. Okay, let's talk about what's coming up for It Burns IP, because people are on the edge of their seats
they
wanting to know what's next.
They want to know.
They want to know what?
They want to know what's next.
Oh. Looks like we're going to be releasing the next mini-P episode. That'll be episode 32 on October 9th, and I'm thinking about doing a Legends episode.
Very nice.
Playing old school, like some Conway Twitty.
Very cool. I like Conway Twitty.
Some Johnny fucking Paycheck.
Sounds good, man.
And some Johnny fucking Cash.
Johnny fucking Cash.
And some maybe some surprises.
Sounds good.
And we're also going to be releasing the third annual. Yes, count it, the third annual. We've done something three times in a row. which is amazing.
It is amazing.
It is amazing for this shitty show to to last that long to be able to do the third annual Halloween special. And for all of you folks that have been listening for all 2.5 years, you will know that the October Halloween episodes are a don't want to miss. I always take extra time and make spooky sounds.
Ooh.
Well, they're like spookier than that.
Sorry, man. That's the best I can do on short notice.
They tune in and they're like, oh, I can't wait to listen to them.
And then they are, ooh.
Uncle Bubba just did the whole show. Ooh.
I promise I won't do that during the show. That's cool.
You can do it during the show.
Okay.
All right. Are you going to be around then?
I fucking hope so. Hey, as long as I pass the test.
You have to, because this is the only place I had to record the show.
Guaranteed in.
Yes.
Hey, did you mention when that show is going to be released?
Oh, I'm sorry. That episode is going to be released on October 23rd.
You know, October 23rd would be a perfect time for the Hug a 34 contest.
Too bad it wasn't October 34th.
Dude, there's not 34 days.
I'm just saying it would be cool.
It would be cool, but...
So if you take the 3 in October 23, moved it to the front, and multiplied the 2 by itself,
dude,
you'd get
don't
34.
Act like you can do math.
That's algebra. That's not math. That's algebra.
Okay, don't act like you can do algebra. Can't even spell algebra. Frankly, I'm surprised you can say it.
Yeah, exactly. So once again, on October 23rd, the third annual Halloween special, and we
Ooh.
Will be... There you go. You got it. And we will be announcing all the rules and regulations for the Hug a 34 day.
That's right, people. Sit there and think about it. What's a 34?
And we'll also be releasing, by that episode, the Uncle Bubba's Cockfighting T-shirt.
I am so honored to have my own cockfighting T-shirt.
Well, you love the cock.
No, my wife loves the cock.
Oh, yeah.
I like to make the cocks fight.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I don't love the cock, I promise. Stop staring at my groin.
I've never seen anything so small. Thank you very much, Bubba, for being on the show.
Dude, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Bubba's wife, for letting us do the show at your house.
Yeah, I think she's watching TV in another room and
All right.
Can't hear you.
And thank you to Beans and Franks.
Beans and Franks.
For letting us record in there. Their studio.
It is their studio, because they rule this house, believe me.
Exactly. And I want to thank, again, I can't even say how much I want to thank the Calamity Cubes. They're super down-to-earth guys. If you guys have not even already went to the website to order the CD, go fucking do it. Because
definitely, go check them out.
Both CDs are kick-ass. We want to thank Andy from Section86.com. He's now a father.
I did hear that. I heard he was a father. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So hopefully he doesn't have to pay child support.
Right, yeah, exactly. And, of course, we want to thank.
Thank you, fans. Thank you. What was his name?
Darren.
Thank you, Darren.
No,
we appreciate you.
Yeah, but seriously, thanks all the fans. A lot of you guys that keep in touch and, you know, and post on the website and post on our MySpace and stuff and send us emails. And it's cool.
It's awesome, man. We really appreciate it.
That's a spooky sound. And, of course, we want to thank Donnie fucking Cash, as always, for not only being on the show, but for doing such a kick-ass, you know, awards show that he spends a lot of time on.
That is really awesome that he takes the time to put that together for everybody.
And he takes the time to leave us wonderful voicemails to keep us laughing. And finally, I have to say thank you to my roommates.
You mean your mom and stepdad?
No, they are my roommates.
All right, man. Whatever you say.
They are my roommates. I want to thank them for the dinners and the day bed to sleep in.
And the and day
the
bed.
And the Duke room.
Duke sucks.
I get to look at Christian Laettner every night. And I think...
That's the gayest thing that's ever been said on this show.
I had her pack some of it away. Oh, I'll tell you a story real quick because I have nothing else to do and we've only had like a 6-minute segment. The other night, I was having her put her Duke shit in boxes. So all of a sudden, we hear out in the hallway, like a crowd cheering, or like a like a college like theme song, you know, fight
it's because
song.
Everybody's happy because she's packing up all the Duke shit.
No, listen. So and we hear it, and I'm like, "Is that your phone?" I thought maybe she got a ringtone or something, but then I remember there's no way she could possibly figure out how to put a ringtone on there. But then we heard it again. It was like, God, and like little like music, like a band or something. And I go, that's got to, it's not my phone. It's got to be your phone. And so she got up. It took like 5 minutes. But she got up, and she put down her Thighmaster. Because she, no, seriously, she had a Thighmaster in her hand.
Oh, my God.
She had it in her hand. But she picked it up, and she, you know, set it down, and she went in the other room. Rory had got a Duke, like, ball that when you throw it down, it,
makes the crowd noise.
And she
did she chew the shit out of it?
Dude, there was stuffing all over
that's
the place.
That's great, man. I love it.
It was awesome. So, but no, seriously, thank you to my roommates for all that they've done and helping me out. And I know it's not quiet enough there to do a show. So we're doing it at Beans and Frank's studio.
That's right. And we're happy to have you here, man.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. So thank you, everyone. Good night. Hold on. Good night. And we will see you on October 9th.
And we're going to leave you now with Bent from our guest tonight, The Calamity Cube's first album.
Yeah, this is another kick-ass album. Like I said, both albums are worth getting. Those guys are awesome. And check out their MySpace and see when they're coming to your town.
Check them out. Check them out.
And as always, everybody, get your hank on.
Well, I'm Bent. I think it's from whiskey. And I'm broken, I think it's cause of you. Well, I'm tired of feeling so lonesome. Well, I'm tired of feeling so blue. Twisted from this life I'm living. I'm tormented by the things I've done. Well, I didn't mean to kill her, but the bottle man. Can still hear her screaming, and I don't want to do that to you. Took her down by the woodshed. I dug a hole and I put her in the ground. But I can still hear her screaming. It's just like.